Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I'm Alistair.
And I'm
George William
Andy Trumbly
Birchall.
Matthews.
Andy, stepping all over my family legacy, which is my name. They left it to me in my birth certificate.
My good name. My good name.
Ruined my good name, Andy.
You know what you should do?
Yeah.
Is when you're, you know, when you turn, I don't know, like 15.
15
You should legally
years old?
Change your name. Right, to something else.
Yeah.
Get all your crimes and your misdemeanors and your just embarrassing stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
And then keep your good name, your original name, your family name, nice and fresh and untouched. Okay.
Is that,
then you come
is that
back
the
to
idea
it.
With
25,
like,
26, you're like, okay.
Like a pope.
Like a pope. Exactly. Yeah.
You get, because I guess they kind of get rid of their sinner name.
It is a nickname for the popes, isn't it? Right, like, yeah, all that Benedict shit. They call it a, what do they call it? Like a papal name,
it's
a pope name,
your eggs name,
your eggs name.
Yeah,
because it's Benedict.
Eggs Benedict. Eggs
Pope Florentine.
Pope France. Eggs Francis. I think they should just name more eggs after popes.
Yeah, I was going to go the other way, but you're right. I think we should
go. Oh, no, you're right. No, Pope over easy.
Yeah.
Pope Spanish omelet. I guess that's Pope Francis. He's
curried Pope.
Curried Pope. Hard boiled Pope.
Okay, so, okay, well, you know what this is? You know what this isn't?
What?
This isn't a sketch idea, but you know what this is?
It's a real good time.
It's a great funny T-shirt idea. I don't know if funny T-shirts are in at the moment, but I feel like
T-shirts that go hard are in right now.
T-shirts that go hard. This doesn't go hard.
No,
this goes.
This will depend. This goes one goes soft boiled.
Yeah, fucking hell. Thanks for rescuing me there. I was trying to think of the word for things that aren't hard.
These ones go runny. T-shirts that go runny. Oh, still have a gelatinous white area.
I mean, the fact that we haven't come up with a spray-on T-shirt.
You think they haven't?
That's, I mean, what I think that's the premise. That's the pretext of my sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
I mean, I've definitely seen, you know, people who spray paint things onto people's bodies, and then I think I've seen maybe somebody do like a suit or something like that, maybe not a T-shirt.
Thank you very much. But look, I think a T-shirt with a whole lot of sketches, okay, of different popes as eggs. That's all I'm saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pope over easy.
Do you think there was a Pope Florentine?
In a way, it seems possible.
Yeah.
Because Florence, as we both know,
yeah,
is a type of nightingale, but a woman,
the important thing is that Pope Florentine is believable, you know? So if I wrote Benedict...
That opens the door.
Yeah, Pope Benedict first.
Yes.
Then Pope Florentine.
Yes, yes.
Then Pope Overeasy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then Pope Scrambled.
Pope with soldiers.
Pope with soldiers. Which there would have been a Pope with that.
Curried Pope. And we've been through these, but we're just playing the hits at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
People love it when
we hadn't done Pope with soldiers.
Something that they can...
Pope Sixtus the Fifth.
No, hang on. Pope Sixth the Fifth.
Oh, there was Florence and the Popes. Oh, this is something else. All right. I'm getting distracted, Andy, by
Alistair. I think, you know, that really brought us back down to reality there. That little, we were on a flight of fancy. Well,
there goes gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about It's the movie 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's
about Edward Lear and limericks.
Okay. Yep.
Once was a man.
Did I pitch you once the 8 Mile, but for bush poems?
Maybe you did.
I mean, that's Andy. Mm. I couldn't think of a better person to say that I'm going to write this with, and then we'll never get around to it.
Mm. We call it, you know what we call it?
What?
8 Miles to Gundagai.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, yeah. All right, 8 miles to go. Oh, I mean, this is probably an old idea that we've already written down, do you think?
Write it down again, Alistair. You know what? We're phoenixing. Hey? We're legally phoenixing the podcast.
Okay, and we're...
All our old sketch ideas, they don't count anymore.
All right.
Episode 346.
We're starting
that's
season.
We start again.
I wrote 446. Jeez, that's insane.
Yeah.
Okay, so 346. Mm. We're starting to get... Is this season 4 now?
Mm.
We start in season 4? Mm-hmm. We were in season 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we were in season 3. Mm. So I think we're now just starting season 4, but it's actually, in brackets, season 1.
Mm. Now, speaking of ideas that we've probably already come up with. What's that story, the famous story about the guy? He's got
Gundagai?
A name. He's got a name.
For anybody who's not from Australia, there is a very famous Australian poem song called The Road to Gundagai.
Yeah, and I think it might have the line 6 miles to Gundagai or something in the poem.
Yeah, right.
That's the dog sits on the tucker box.
Mm, I've seen that.
Something miles
I've seen
from Gundagai.
There.
Yeah. But, Alistair,
mm-hmm.
speaking of ideas that we've probably already come up with on the podcast before.
But we haven't. Not technically this podcast.
Legally.
We're just buying the legal entity that is our old podcast.
That's right.
And then liquidating all of its...
Transferring the title.
Its debts, which is the debts are all the sketches that haven't been made.
Yes.
And then we don't have to feel guilty about any of that.
It was becoming burdensome.
It was a lot.
There was a weight of expectation, but
I can't wait to hear what this idea is.
I keep forgetting, I have to remember every single time. Who's the fucking guy who falls asleep, right, for 300
Sandman.
Years? No. He goes to sleep for 300. No.
Sleeping Beauty.
No, he's got a name like Wee Willie Winky or some shit,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's called...
I've never heard of
it. With a Schmidt Bogginson or something like that. It's a famous story, and an origin of time travel kind of stories because he wakes up. And his children have grown up and died. They've
become 300 years old.
They're all 300 years old, that sort of thing.
Mm.
But isn't in a way, every sleep is a version of that, right?
That's true. Yeah, you wake up 12 hours later.
Yeah, 12 hours.
So is this your idea? Is this the idea?
This is the idea.
Yeah, I like this. Okay, so every day, every day you wake up.
And you're in the future and you're like, ah!
Yeah,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, I find, because you wake up and then you open up your news app and you go...
A whole lot of shit's happening.
And because then you go,
oh,
I wonder if there's been... This is every day I actually, in the moments while it's loading, I go, I wonder if there's been another 9/11.
Oh.
And I, like, not 9/11, but, you know, that,
yeah,
like the rush that you got from 9/11. You know what I mean? Like that rush.
I've just been chasing
rush. When you open up a news website or you turn on the TV and something big has happened, like something smoldering, you know?
Like sure,
that.
Look at all that smoke. People are covered in dust. Is this a baking festival or is it another 9/11?
That's it. And so it's... So, okay, wait. So how do you picture this sketch?
I don't really know. Because what it is it's one of the classic Andy sketches where it's like, take something that's quite extreme and interesting.
Yeah.
What if there was a very mild version
where it's actually.
What if it was a lot less interesting? Does that make it funny somehow?
Yeah. Well, what if we go back to 8 miles to Gundagai, right? Mm. So let's say, okay, so he's, I guess they're not that far from Gundagai.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're on the wrong side of the...
They are that far from Gundagai at the time, right? Because I assume... Are we setting it in the past and it's all like horses and shit?
It could be. I don't know.
I think it would be good.
I consider bush poetry to be timeless.
I think it would be good to do a
period piece.
A period piece, but like that style of period piece that with the Bridgerton and that kind of stuff is very in right now.
Yeah.
Okay. You can make it a bit street, a bit, you know, use whatever language you want and that sort of thing, and colorblind casting, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Right? We make it about Henry Lawson and Banjo Patterson. They got this rivalry.
Yeah.
And it's about them, right? And they,
oh, right.
You know,
Who's the underdog?
It's a battle. It's Henry Lawson.
Is he?
Yeah, because his life was real shit.
Yeah. Was he the drover?
He might have been the drover. I don't know if either of them was really like a drover kind of guy, but they probably wrote about drovers and stuff.
Yeah, because they saw them arrive on their land.
That... You're like, I reckon there's a poem in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They see stuff. Yeah, you know, they'd be out there seeing stuff and then racing to write the first bush poem about it.
Do you think he was like the drover's wife, right? That poem that he wrote, Henry Lawson.
I think that's a story rather than a poem.
You're right. It's a story. Do you think maybe the only reason that he saw that was because he was visiting the guy's wife?
Drover's wife.
Do you think? Like he was like, boy, this lady's life is sad. This lady who I'm hooking up with.
Guy comes home. The drover comes home. He's like, what are you doing here with my wife? Oh, I'm writing a poem about it.
Yes, I'm writing a very long story. Yes. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to reading it. You go, oh, yes, I better get on to it. Quick, let me grab my pants. I take off my pants to write, usually. Anyway, you'll be having a child soon, I hear.
Yeah, no. I mean, I like all of that. That would be a great little subplot.
Oh, subplot in there while he's having this romance with this drover's wife.
You know what would be a good job?
Yeah.
Be a guy, a subplot guy. You know, everybody's writing their big stories, right? What if you could just be the guy they come to for a subplot? And you're like, you look through their list of characters and you're like, oh, what if these two characters had to go and borrow a car?
Yes.
That's really good.
So wait. You're in a writer's room where people are like.
I'm not in a writer's room. I'm in a different room. Okay. So the writers are in the writer's room.
Yeah. You're in the subplot room.
Well, maybe I have a little van and I drive it around the streets of LA.
Underneath the regular room, the writer's room.
Yeah.
And maybe like a little sewer or something like that. And there's a grate that you can whisper things through to the people up in the writer's room.
Really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sort of you live like the Ninja Turtles.
Like a little rat man. Yeah. Horrible little... I eat the scraps that fall down through the grate.
And you go,
leaning back on their chair and trying to throw chips into each other's mouths and stuff because they're having such a good time. But sometimes they miss. And I go, ha ha.
And you go, oh, maybe Kramer could... You know, this is the one. This is he talks about all the great writer's rooms that he worked under. And, you know, maybe Kramer could have a big chicken shop open up, you know, downstairs and it's got the red light and people like that coming in like that. And he's like, they're like, yeah, you know, I just had an idea. Maybe Kramer.
And then they feed a little bit of chicken down through the grating. Well,
but they think that they have the idea because they just hear it.
Really?
Mm.
Wow.
By the way, I've listened back to some episodes recently because I was trying to like find clips. By the way, if anybody... has some clips that they like, sections of the podcast that they like, send them to me, and then I can clip them up and try and put them on some social medias. Because I realize I got to do a lot of listening in order to do this clipping.
But you've been listening back, and what have you found?
I find that a lot of the things that I think that I've said that were really funny, turns out you said them. And I go, oh.
Did you repeat them back to me or something in the episode, or did you just...
No, I don't.
Just decided that you'd said them?
I just, in my that's how I remembered them. I go, oh, I was... Yeah. Geez, I was funny in this. And I go, oh, I didn't really say anything funny.
Well, you know what that is your brain isn't recording separate tracks. You've got an algorithm that mixes it all down into one...
That's right. And like it doesn't keep track of what ideas my right hemisphere comes up with and what idea my left hemisphere comes up with. In the same way, it doesn't register... Mm. Which ones you come up with and which ones I come up with. It just says I came up with all of them.
Now, but can we go back to my version where I drive around in a little van like an ice cream van around the streets?
Is this the subplot?
This is the subplot guy.
Okay, yeah.
Or, you know, I'm driving around and I've got I play a tune.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not that one, but something that's a bit more, you know, maybe
dun dun da da dun 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 da da dun dun.
What's a theme, like a theme that might be associated with the? Yeah, that's it. Perfect. Yeah.
And you're coming up with all the Lois, the Lois stories.
The Jimmy Olsen. Is Jimmy Olsen, was he
involved in Superman?
Was he involved in Superman? Was he his friend, a photographer, or
I'm
something?
Sure.
Like that?
Are you thinking of Peter Parker, the photographer?
Oh, I was thinking of the Olsen twins.
Oh yes, of course. Yes, and the Jimmy would get Olsen photographed twins. Rather than be photographers.
But I find that very often the photograph reveals more about the photographer than it does about the person being photographed. Mm. Unless, of course, it's some sort of photograph of their bum or something. And then you're like, oh, that's actually revealed quite a lot
about clothing or something like that.
Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. Oh, I guess I didn't see quite as much of the photographer's bum.
Yeah.
Unless it's a very shiny bum.
Yeah, that's right.
Very, very shiny bum. And you can see, you zoom in, you can actually see the photographer reflected.
Yeah.
And then you see, what you can see is the photographer's bum.
That's right. Unless it's very shiny as well.
Unless their bum's very shiny
and then
as well.
It creates this kind of infinity mirror.
But it would be curved. So, sort of a convex kind of infinity mirror where things get progressively smaller.
But which you would be able to see with digital, with the high pixel count on a lot of digital photographs these days. Unless it was film.
Mm.
Unless this photographer's using film, and then you could just keep. Zooming
infinite,
in forever.
You think it's infinite detail. Is that what you get with film? Do you get
infinite
levels of
detail? Wow. Yeah. So I think you can see probably the beginning of time in there.
That's great.
If you zoom in far enough.
Far enough. You could see look up into the stars.
I don't think you need to. I think the center of the universe, the beginning of the universe is everywhere, is in all directions. And so it would be inside the photographer's, on the reflection in the photographer's bum.
Yes, the center of the universe is everywhere.
Yeah.
That's very true and
Thank
one of my
so
favorite
much.
Facts.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can see that doesn't necessarily mean you can see the beginning of the universe everywhere.
No, I know that.
Because of the speed of light. It didn't seem like you knew that
I know, but I meant that if somebody was looking at it from 13 billion years away.
Oh, okay. The photographer's bum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the photograph of the photographer's bum.
I still don't think that works. I still don't think that
no,
works.
No, but I meant...
Because they would only be able to see that 13 billion years in the future when the light reaches them.
So they would only see... Yeah, you're right. So they would only see...
Now. They wouldn't see the origin of
you're
the
right.
universe.
Yeah, I meant the photographer's bum. Or whatever it was 13 billion years ago.
Now... What about this, right? What about this?
Yeah.
They get the footage, the photographs, right? They get the photographs from the James Webb telescope.
Yes.
Right. And they're revealing them to the president or something like that. Right. And then they look at one of the photographs and they've looked all the way into the so far away. And the universe is curved. They've seen all the way around.
All the way around, and they're looking at their own bums.
Yeah, they're looking at their own bums, or possibly the president's mum's bum or something like that.
Yeah, this is what this is the scientists at NASA looking at the president's mom's bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Wait, so they've gone looked all the way around. Well, how... How did this come about? I think, did I miss a beginning of a sentence?
No, they've got
like
the James Webb telescope, super powerful telescope, right? They've got
these footage. It's all the way around.
They're looking at the universe is curved, the light's gone all the way around, right? And they can see
the current president's mom's bum.
Yeah, they're showing him the photographs. Like, here's the photos. It's really significant. We weren't expecting this.
We saw it all the way back. And so
seen your mum's bum.
It was, but it's only like looking back, sort of like. Maybe 24 to 40 years. Is that what it is?
I guess I hadn't really thought about the time component. I just thought they were looking at the president's mom's bum.
Yeah. It's like as in his dead mom and like somehow they've got x-ray stuff so they can see her in the ground.
I guess. Well, I mean, not all president's mums are dead.
No, I know.
I guess the current president's mum is probably dead.
I assume that.
Yeah.
You know, if the current president is almost dead.
Yes.
Then.
Who's the first president to have
George
a living
Washington.
Mum?
I'm just going to say George Washington, but but then again,
is there a special word for the president's mum? You know, there's the first lady. Would she be the first mum?
It's crazy that the mom doesn't get to be the first lady.
Yeah.
You know, because I always put so much importance on moms.
Well, if the mum,
first dad,
had a very sort of codependent relationship with her son. I'm saying son just because there haven't been any female presidents yet. Right.
It's not in America.
You're absolutely right. That was what I was talking about. But
I don't think Canada's have a female prime minister yet.
You'll always be my first lady. That's what. Oh, I just want to still be your first lady your life.
That's right.
Something
and then
like
he
that.
Breastfeeds.
She's British.
She breastfeeds him.
She breastfeeds him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think while he's breastfeeding, do you think.
Has there been a movie called First Baby? But it's but President Baby. It's a movie where a baby becomes president. Have there been any movies about that? I'm sure there's been movies where a teen becomes president.
I mean, there's
but what about a baby?
There's Boss Baby, which is a movie where a baby becomes a boss. Is kind of a businessman.
Sure, I mean, that would be a good.
But also kind of a spy kind of thing as well. And they're trying working towards. Until next time. Kind of a spy also working towards keeping, passion towards babies. Everybody want people to like babies, right, and find them very cute.
Yeah.
President Baby. I haven't seen President Baby yet. Wait, but what were we just talking about? Like, I think we have to finish our idea.
Mum's bum.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't 100% sure on what that was.
I mean, I think that there's I think there's an interesting moment.
Mm.
This is an interesting moment of frisson. You know, I love a bit of frisson. It's when the photographers, the people looking at the photographs from the James Webb Telescope, when they first print them out or whatever, I imagine they print them out, and they realize that they're photographs of the president's mum's bum.
Yeah, and then they have to tell the president that it's like a galaxy or something like that.
Yeah. Or are they going to try and do that? Are they going to come clean? The president's coming to see the photographs.
Yeah.
All they've got every single photograph is just of the president's mum's bum.
Yeah.
Every direction they look, it turns out, because of the way the universe is curved, they look like real pervs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
it's not their fault.
And they should have looked. They should have looked
universe.
At the photos before the president
was
on his way, walking into the room.
But the president's really excited to see them. He's just coming down the hall.
They say,
"What are they going to do?"
They said, "Mr. President, we have some photos.
We're printing them out now.
We have some photos from the James Webb Telescope. They've captured a lot, and we're going to print them out now and then
take a look at them. We'd like you to be here.
Be here, and it's going to be the first time we're going to have
them.
A good virgin look at them."
Yeah, well, that's, that's the right of presidents.
That's right.
It used to be they got to deflower the daughters
wife.
Of the village or something that. But now the only thing they're allowed is they're allowed to have the first look at any photographs of any distant galaxies.
Yeah, and then the guy and then
he gets an hour alone in a room with the photographs before anybody else.
Imagine that.
It's one of the perks.
So then he spends a whole hour, right? Yeah. They don't even look at the photos yet. They don't look at the photos. They're just in an envelope. He comes out an hour later. "These are all photos of my mom's bum."
He's going through one after another.
Yeah. Oh. It's right on the dot. 1 hour passes, comes out. I can't help
but notice
that every single one of these photographs are of my mother's bum.
Now he recognizes his mum's bum.
Yeah. Well, do you picture it being a flesh bum? Because for some reason I picture it in a yellow skirt.
Yeah, sure. I think that's nicer.
You know,
I think
like
that's classier.
You know, it's like a driving Miss Daisy kind of skirt. You know, I don't know. It's got a crimp on it.
Oh, sure. I love that style.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you can tell it's like a high end fabric. It's kind of got, you know, like a, you know, that word that we'd got from Ellie ages ago, and it was like a trip thing or something like, and
triptych?
It wasn't triptych, but it was a word, and it meant like for that, like that, usually a, like a wall covering that has got an indentation that is. And
so don't look it up.
I picture that, but with
but a skirt.
But with a skirt, yeah. And it's on the president's mom's bum. But it's yellow.
But yeah, I think, I mean, maybe that's what he needed the full hour to.
I would say that both
to identify it.
He just, yeah, I think he knew immediately.
Yeah, okay.
Anaglypta, I think.
Anaglypta.
Or an anaglyph. Yeah, right.
I wasn't going to get that. No. Trip thong.
Trip thong. All right. So, James Webb. Telescope.
I think I've tweeted this or said this before, but I'll put it out there for the listeners, which is that, you know, those kinds of bikinis that are sort of like a bikini, but they're sort of joined in the middle as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite a bikini, but it's not quite a one piece either. I think they should be called a diphthong.
I don't know what a diphthong is, I think.
So a diphthong is two letters that are joined together, right?
Yeah.
With, you know, like an A and an E to make it a diphthong. But then
Andy,
diphthong would be a Andy, swimming
this is
song.
Highly unusual.
Two things that are joined together.
This is highly unusual, and I don't normally do this. But you've just said one of the three words from a listener.
Is it diphthong?
It is diphthong.
This is highly unorthodox. It's not normally how we do things here, but something has come up in the podcast that has to be addressed. Yeah, great. Great. Had you already started writing that? Okay, we're on four sketch ideas. That's quite good. So what about this? Okay. What about this?
Yeah.
Quasimodoing. Quasimodoing.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, it's a new new trend for people on on TikTok or
yeah,
Snapchat.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, like, you know that song like you can ring my bell.
Yeah.
Is that about giving them an orgasm?
Think it's about Quasimodo?
Hang on, but like, you know, like do you think ringing, you can ring my bell? Does that mean like you can sort of move my clitoris to the point where until I orgasm?
Yeah. I don't know.
But then imagine what Quasimodoing is, because then that's a gigantic clitoris.
And you're rubbing your head against it.
Is that what he does?
I think I haven't seen it, right? But there's a joke that's like Quasimodo, his face rings a bell or something like that. Right. So I assume at some point in the movie Quasimodo, he hits the bell with his head.
Or maybe.
Because he's a bell ringer, right?
Yeah, but I think he uses the big rope and stuff
a lot
of the time.
Yeah, but I mean, he might hit with his head at some point. Look, it's not enough to base a sex move off. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, to smash your head into a... Yeah, I was just trying to picture, like, you know, what's the biggest thing? And that's the problem. Is that, like, this is a dumb question. What's the biggest thing that you can rub and get an orgasm out of? And it's either...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The brain.
A clitoris or a penis.
Could be.
I mean, you know, but then of course it could just be a hyena's clitoris, which is probably the biggest clitoris, maybe.
I don't know.
Or maybe a whale's clitoris. A whale will probably have a clitoris. Do you ever think about that?
I hope so.
Eh?
I hope so. I don't think every
creature has it as a center for pleasure.
But, right.
But it must have it because it's the same thing that turns into the penis, and that thing has a center for pleasure.
So from an evolutionary perspective, there must be.
Well, that's the incentive to have sex, right? I don't think any of them are like, fuck, I gotta have a kid.
I think the incentive to have sex, what that feels like for a whale, we don't know. And whether it's the pleasure of the act itself.
The yak?
The act.
Okay.
Or the pleasure of the yak.
The pleasure of the yak.
Look, I just think that Quasimodoing, what would it be as a...
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out as well.
Okay, so you're thinking it's rubbing an enormous thing.
Yeah.
To cause an...
A big bell. I'm not saying
but
that...
But I think Ring My Bell.
Yeah.
I think whatever it is, Ring My Bell is going to be the track that they play during the TikTok clips. You know?
Ring My Bell. And he's going, pulling up and down to the beat with the big... That big rope.
Big rope. But, you know, maybe it's running into something, shouting sanctuary. Maybe it's... You know, it is
carrying a very big backpack.
Carrying a very big backpack, hitting something.
Hitting.
You know, to make a big
a bong. Hitting a bong.
Hitting a bong. Hitting a big bong. Maybe there's nothing.
He calls smoking weed, Quasimodoing. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's hitting a big bong. Also, I guess like something like what's that clock called there? The tower, or maybe it's the tower is called Big Ben. No, the clock is called Big Ben.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But what's the bell's name?
Oh, I think it's is it the Tower of the Houses of Parliament or some shit like that? You know, it's like
Is that the name of the bell? The Tower of the Houses of Parliament?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, the name of the bell is
the Tower of the Houses of Parliament.
I think, what about this, right? What if
the Tower is the name of the clock?
I was thinking about that soccer player who headbutted that guy in the stomach.
Zinedine Zidane.
What a name. But I was thinking how...
Doesn't seem French, does he? Seems like he'd be from Zanzibar or something like that.
If I were to guess.
If that would be my guess.
Somewhere very Z-heavy.
Somewhere in... Like, feels like even though Morocco starts with M... Feels like everywhere must start with Z almost.
Yeah, that's right. You know how people talk about catching some Zs to go to sleep? Yeah. Well, he put them all in his name when he caught them.
He never went to sleep. He just started naming himself.
I was thinking about how he headbutted that guy. He must have thought that would have been, in the soccer context, less illegal than punching him.
That's right.
Because he wasn't using his hands.
Yeah, well, that's right. And because using his hands to touch the head would be, to a certain extent, like touching a ball.
Indeed.
Is exactly what you were
But implying. I was wondering if there was like a... We could do... this would be a very erotic sketch.
Oh, yes. I like
but this
already.
But this would be how soccer players make
about,
love.
Is this about Quasimodoing?
Right? It could be. This is how soccer players make love. They don't use their hands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They take a dog.
They sort of writhe. I guess they're on the bed, but they'd sort of be writhing and squirming around, trying not to touch
kind
the other
you know,
person
when,
with their
when,
head.
Like when it looks like you know you're trying to wait, either waiting for the ball to come to the player, and they are kind of rubbing up against each other like that, trying to go. Oh, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go that way. That kind of thing.
But then I imagine in the bed they'd sort of look quite a lot like a fish on a pier, sort of flopping around that. And then I was wondering, would they try and use their forehead? Instead of their hands to do some of the rubbing,
yes.
Which we don't do. I don't think anyone uses the forehead.
Do you do a lot of rubbing?
Yeah, there's a lot of rubbing.
Because it'd be great, for, like especially for you, someone who doesn't believe in massage.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, well, that's you know, this would be
time
perfect.
To rub.
This would be the perfect style for you because you don't believe in sort of. Positive sensations coming from hands touching skin, right? So you'd be like, all right, hun, is it sex time? Let me just put my hands behind my back and hold them, clasp them so I can not use them. And then let me slither upon you.
slide up on there, squirming and slithering.
Up. There we go. We won't have any wasted hand touching skin. Okay, wait. You were okay. So, yeah, look, I think the way soccer players have sex, Andy, is great.
Thank you. That's a sketch idea, Alistair. You know, that's what we're here for in many ways. You might not realize that we're in the studio together today. That's why some of the riffs have been silly and haven't really been well formed.
Yeah,
we're in the new Stupid Old Studios studio. So if you like the sound of this, maybe you want to hire the Stupid Old Studios podcast studio.
If you like the sound of this, if you listen to this podcast for audio quality, then what are you doing with your life? But if you do, come
maybe,
and hire the Stupid Old Studios.
Maybe this is a good one. Maybe this is a good one. Maybe this is what's going to happen.
Oh, my God. Well, I know, but this could upset George because he loves consistency.
He loves the consistency with which there's always something wrong with the podcast. But he loves to text me to say, are you trying to do it badly?
I do love that. George, last time I saw George, he asked me, has anybody else, because somebody noticed at the end of one of the episodes, a few episodes ago, maybe like three or four, maybe five.
He put a little remix.
There was a little thing, like there was like a bit of silence at the end of the podcast. And then there was a little remix of what we did with our beat or whatever, right? And then after I told George that somebody mentioned that, he said, like a week later, he goes, oh, anybody else notice any Easter eggs or anything? And I went, no, why? Are there more? He goes, I don't know. And so I think that there's a chance. So if you guys want to listen out and if you find
it,
if you want to re-listen
to every single episode of Turn the Think Tank.
Yeah.
Probably not every single episode, probably from about 150 or something is when George started. Would it have been when he started editing?
Could be it. Could be it when George started editing.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did we used to just upload it?
Oh, I used to do something. I used to fuck around with it, try and do something. But,
really?
It was a different time back then.
It's true.
We didn't make as many mistakes in the recording, so it didn't need so much professional assistance.
Yeah. Well, we weren't, you know, we hadn't grown as incompetent as we have now. me just turning off the podcast at any point. All right, that's five sketch ideas. So should I go to three words from a listener?
I would love that. I'm really excited to learn what the other ones are. Diphthong.
So today's words come from crud.
Is one of the words dugong?
Andy, we're not out to that bit yet.
Sorry.
Crud is a listener, and he's sent in three words. And as you know, the first one is diphthong.
Mm.
Now, do you want me to answer that question?
Yeah. Is the second word dugong?
No, it isn't.
Damn.
But you did get the first letter correct.
Diphthong. Deuterium. It's deuterium.
No, that's a very good guess, but it's denominator.
Denominator. Diphthong denominator.
And the final word is
diphthong denominator. Does it begin with the letter D?
Do you really need me to tell you that?
Determinant.
That is incorrect, Andy.
Oh,
but
that inhalation was filled with promise.
Disaster.
Diphthong. Denominator. Disaster.
Oh, denominator makes me think about the possibility of dividing letters. Right? Which is, I guess, you know, because if you had a diphthong, like an A-E.
Yeah.
Over E.
A-E over E.
Yeah.
Yes, you can cancel out the E.
Cancel out
just
the E.
Just get the E.
Get an A.
Get the A. Fuck. That was a disaster.
Your letter maths is terrible.
But why would you need to
over U?
Yeah.
W over V if it's capital W.
Sure.
T over seven.
I.
Oh yeah, T over seven
hyphen.
Equals hyphen. High hyphen. And then maybe could you lower the hyphen somehow?
Well, I mean, it would be lowercase T over lowercase L. Equals
lowercase
hyphen.
T. Oh yeah, lowercase T over. Lowercase L equals hyphen. Well, what's the up hyphen? You know, because you've got the underscore Is it overscore?
I've never heard about an overscore.
Yeah.
I mean, there must be, but I've never seen, I don't think I've ever even really seen it used.
Oh, I feel like maybe I have seen it used. I think it's on the keyboard somewhere.
What I have learned is that from the weird things people do with fonts and strange letters on Twitter is that the ASCII characters includes a lot of real freaky shit. You know, if you go deep enough into the ASCII code, you can find anything in there.
Yeah, yeah, any old garbage.
Picture of your mum's bum.
Yeah, the president.
The ASCII code.
The president gets the first look at all the galaxies. Distant galaxies.
Oh, yes. Intriguing.
This one looks
brimming with promise.
Okay, let's not go into letter.
Letter math. Well, it just doesn't. It doesn't lend itself so easily to it. Sort of,
But let's say this is a department of a university.
Okay, sure.
You know, what if you did find out that you could do maths with words? But it's not like maths. It's not like just like this
maths,
minus
maths.
That.
It's got its own version of maths. Yeah. I mean, it kind of is that grammar. Like you can add words together, right, as a way of conveying a greater meaning, right? But that's the meaning is usually just additive, right?
Yeah.
It'd be great if we could find, so that's just additive. We found the additive version of words. It'd be great if we could find the multiplicative version. And maybe that's what metaphor is, right? Because metaphor allows you from, you know, from two words to get a huge amount of meaning.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't just get from putting two words together normally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what makes metaphor so powerful, isn't it? I mean, this is a stupid, inane observation from an idiot.
Yeah.
But metaphor is so good because you can get so much more meaning out of much fewer words. It's actually a really efficient way of encoding.
Yeah.
It is a
second layer. It's that subtext and stuff like that. It's just like a second layer of, but I think it's only a subtext that works for humans. I mean, I can't wait for robots to be able to get
understand metaphor
and subtext.
Yeah. Well, I mean, What if aliens come down and they're really literal?
That Google one could talk about the themes and stuff like that of Les Miserables or Les Miserables.
Really?
Yeah, that was that thing that made that guy
but
go,
it was probably
it's alive.
But it's probably just getting, is it getting that from like other,
from stuff that it's seen online and things like that? Potentially, but
copying? I'm sure this guy thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But also, it was the interesting thing is that if people who study AI can be tricked by these things, that's how susceptible we're all going to be to being tricked.
What about aliens come down?
Yeah.
The aliens, they understand English, right? They're very literal. But the way that we, it's like War of the Worlds.
We have to talk to each other in subtext.
We have to talk to each other in subtext. In metaphor and in poetry, laden with meaning.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that we can communicate. It's the only kind of code. Because they're mathematical geniuses. They can break every other code.
And even rhyming slang. Even rhyming slang they can pick up after a couple of listens.
Yeah. But they don't get you know, deeper.
They don't get stuff that is already encoded in your body. I wonder if they would learn it though. Like if they were observing everybody at all times and you said something like okay, now this isn't going to
take me disappearing through the smoke rings of my mind.
And then you go and to the fridge and get the brie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they'd...
And they would go, I think that can also mean go get the brie. Take me through the smoke rings of the smoke rings in my mind. What was it?
Take me disappearing through the smoke rings
Take
of my mind.
Take me disappearing.
It's from Bob Dylan's Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Take me disappearing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a very good idea, Andy.
Thanks, Alistair. You know, it'd be like that movie Wind Talkers, right? But with poets instead of Native American Indians. Possibly the Iroquois. And that's, you know, That's our sketch for diphthong denominator disaster.
Well, disaster, that's the aliens take over.
The aliens arriving.
The denominator is the common experience between humans.
The shared, yes, the richness of our humanity that transcends.
And diphthong, it's meaning. Us and aliens now living side by side, linked by
the loops of our
A's and E's.
I mean, that would be interesting. If the aliens came down, they weren't body snatchers, but they were a sort of parasitic thing that clung to our bodies to us.
They're human size.
So they're right there all the time.
They're human size, and they just loop their arm around yours.
You. Right.
And they walk with you everywhere. And you
okay. So they hear everything that you hear, and that's why being able to talk.
Each human gets one.
Yeah. Great.
And that's what they do. They multiply so that they have enough for every human.
Multiply like a denominator.
Exactly. Sort of like a denominator.
Sort of the opposite of what a denominator does.
I suppose if you multiply a denominator, then you get nothing. It's like not that either. True subtext.
You don't get nothing. You get one, which might as well be nothing, I suppose.
No, I think the denominator disappears and then you just... If you multiply by the denominator, no, you're absolutely right. You get one. But then you get whatever's left as well on top.
Yeah, yeah.
So there might be more than one.
But it wouldn't be zero, would it?
Well, you know, it depends if you were dividing zero by five. Which you can do if you want. You can try.
No one can stop you. That's
you can't divide by
That's
zero because that just doesn't make any sense.
No.
But you can divide. You can attempt to divide
zero by as much as you want. Yeah. That makes all the sense.
Well, what is just swinging a knife through the air?
If not trying to divide zero.
Divide zero into multiple things by every swing.
Whenever I see a samurai practicing on an ancient rope bridge in the mist, I shout up to him, "Dividing by zero, I see."
Again, shut up, Patrick.
I told him my name is Patrick. I don't want him to know my true identity.
See you this afternoon. I'll be here.
Okay. Well, there you go. Do you want to take us through the sketch ideas that we came up with today, Alistair?
We got Pope Egg based names.
Why don't you take me disappearing through the smoke rings of my mind, Alistair?
All right, Andy. We got Pope Egg based names.
Pope Egg.
You know, so Pope, like Pope Benedict, is Pope Florentine.
It's a t-shirt idea.
Yeah, there's Pope Frittata.
It's such a good t-shirt idea. I'm sure that this already exists as a t-shirt.
Sunny side up.
Yeah. Yeah, we said that one several times.
Did we?
Oh, maybe not.
I said over easy. Do you think Americans have the best names for eggs?
Yeah.
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 I think
they know what they're doing.
That's like
they know how to name an egg.
Like jazz and baseball.
naming
eggs. That's an American art form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 8 miles to Gundagai. It's the story. It's got Henry Lawson. It's got Banjo Patterson. He should fall down a big hill.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know, or like, you know, or be like on a...
Does he do that in
I don't know.
What's 8 Mile?
You know, like, no. No, but, you know, we'll find a way. But that, you know, but somebody does have sex with that woman, Brittany someone. It was Bunny. Oh, his name is Bunny in that, I think.
He's Rabbit.
That's it. Rabbit's probably better than Bunny. But this one will be Henry Lawson instead of Rabbit.
Why is he falling down a big hill?
No. The other guy.
Banjo Patterson. Why is he falling down a big hill?
Well, I know, but he might be like on a rocking horse or something like
Why is he on a rocking horse?
Isn't that like a thing from his poem? Well, a horse runs down a hill.
Oh, sure. The Man from Snowy River.
Yeah. That's all it is. It's a big hill. It's Banjo Patterson. Other poets will be there as well.
Yeah, great.
And they will have battles.
Mm.
But bush poem battles.
Yeah. A poe down, they call it.
That's good.
Thanks.
Poe down, as in like...
A poem.
Like, oh, right. Of course. I thought you meant like those sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
Po' boys.
An Edgar Allan Poe boy. Now, what's that?
I guess it's a sandwich
that gives you a terrifying glimpse into the darkness that lurks within our own unbreakable loneliness.
Yeah, and it could probably also be raven meat.
Raven meat. Edgar Allan Poe boy, raven meat.
Raven meat. That's so raven meat. That'll be mixing up other sort of pop culture.
Wow. So hang on. It's a sandwich shop. This is the unifying thing. We only have raven meat. And all our different types of sandwiches are named after different sort of raven type references, including every Edgar Allan Poe boy and our That's So Raven meat sandwiches.
Yeah.
And then presumably some others, but maybe that's the only two.
That's the only two, yeah. That's the only two references to ravens we knew about. Because we only put a very small amount of time thinking into this, because we had to start selling this raven meat before we were forced out of business by regulators. We assume there's going to be a health inspector coming very soon. He's going to try and shut down.
We have a lot of raven meat. And as people expect a themed sandwich shop these days.
It's a pop-up raven meat store.
There's a guy in the back room. You keep going back in there to shout at him. People think it's the stock boy or something like that, but it's the guy who comes up with the pun names for the raven meat sandwiches. He's not working hard enough.
Authorities find out.
The authorities. I think that's quite an exciting idea.
Yeah, to start illegal businesses and get them up and running and sell out of everything that you can before the authorities find out.
Would you call the sandwich like Raven Craven Raven or something like that? Raven Craving?
You call the sandwich that?
Sandwich shop?
Craven. Oh, Craven Raven. Yeah.
Craven a Raven?
Yeah, yeah. Craving a Raven. Like maybe Craving a Raving?
That's it.
Because what craven means something else.
Craven,
right?
Yeah, that means sort of bad, creepy, and sort of despicable little freak. Which maybe you are. Maybe you're Quasimodoing.
Yep, exactly. Oh, I didn't read the rest. Then we got 8 miles to Gundago. I already said that one. We got the subplot writer, who I think in your version
he has
a little van and the Superman theme tune to play. and then I don't know what else he does. Is he doing little missions and things like that?
He's driving around the blocks, and the writers run out of the writers' rooms. Mm. They get excited when they hear the subplot man is coming, and they run out. Yeah. And they ask for subplots from him.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And then he sort of has a machine that he kind of pulls a handle down and they kind of come oozing out.
Those subplots come oozing out into a cone.
Like in a wet piece of paper, long piece of paper. To a cone that he curls up.
One character or two?
It's just the way of just cramming this idea that doesn't fit into the ice cream mold, the ice cream man mold.
But it's amazing that the one character
the subplot man is here. The subplot man is here. They all run out.
And they're chasing him down the street.
Is. And then he goes, yes, oh, there you are. He goes, yes, I want some plopping. He's got the cone ready under the machine. One character or two.
The fact that it's sloppy.
Sloppy wet paper. It's just folding over itself.
It's the worst.
They have to lick the ooze off of it or something like that so that they can then read it because it's so claggy and gross. And just
So he doesn't even come up with them, though. They just get squeezed out of a machine.
I guess he writes them at home.
Sure.
He's not going to
on spec.
That's right. And then he knows he can sell them because it's always going to be stuff like, you know, Michael has to find the raccoon that took his, you know, his pocket knife. Yeah. Like
that. That's really good.
You know, it doesn't take long.
Gary sees his sister kissing
Santa Claus in the middle of summer and tries to get to the bottom of it.
It turns out it's not Santa Claus. It's just an old man.
It's just an old man who dresses all in red and white with a black belt. Then we got the James Webb telescope photos. They get presidents get the first look at distant galaxies for 1 hour, but it's the president's mom's bum. And then we have the soccer players have sex style. We got aliens take over, but we can still communicate through subtext. This is, they're also looping arms with us and they're really close and they're observing everything. And then we've got Raven Meat pop-up store has to sell everything before the authorities find out.
It's the perfect sketch in many ways. Yeah. You should buy Gustav and Henry, Volume 2, now available.
Volume 2.
Booktopia, if you're in Australia, is a good place to get it. But hang out if you're in the United States of America or Canada.
Is this one in...
out. And in Spain, at some point, it's going to be coming out in Spain.
Is this
well.
One in any independent bookstores?
It's in independent bookstores
as well.
Is it
at Big W as well?
It's at Big W as
Holy
well.
Holy moly. Yeah, the Big W.
Yeah, the biggest. The All biggest right. W you can find.
I guess we should do the song now.
Dude, it. A do 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 a do 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 a do 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 do. Thank you, everybody, and we appreciate you listening to the show.
And I also do. And so do I.
And we...
You can review us on you know, iTunes.
Yeah.
And you can... You know, you can find us on Instagram at Tumen Tank. You can find us at Twitter.
I'm going to be posting up some clips from the show. And if you have any ideas for clips, you let us know. We'll put up some funny clips.
Favorite clips. Send us your favorite clips. Give us a time signature if you want, because that will make things easy. Okay. So
we love.
Should also mention that you're great. Anyway, and we
love
you. You are the best. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.